Well, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation. We come to really our last study in Revelation. We'll go to another book and all and for a while and get a study that we'll go through. But if you have a old Scofield, it's on 1352 Revelation 22. But let me read the first two verses there in Revelation 22, verse 1 and 2. And he showed me a pure river of water, of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side the river was there, the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank thee for this opportunity. We thank thee and pray that you'll be with these needs that are mentioned. We pray that you'll be with us as we look into your word. We just pray that this study has really challenged our heart to know what we have ahead of us, but help us always to realize the truth. There's a lot of folks that don't know the truth, and to do what we can to get the word of God out, that people might be saved and changed and living for you, Lord. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at this, making all things new, part two. Now, this is part two. Part one was last week we were looking at this as he was mentioning those things. And, of course, this is just an extension of that. In verses 1 through 7, continuing describing the new Jerusalem. And then in verse 8 through 21, the last message of the Bible. As we look at our final study of the book of Revelation, John continues the description of New Jerusalem, as well as the last message of the Bible. And with this, we see the last invitation, a message to all to come before it's eternally too late. The only opportunity you have to receive Christ as your Savior is in this life. There's no second chance after this. Hebrews tells us very clearly, it's appointed a man who was to die, and after that, the judgment. And that's speaking of there's no chance. The judgment will come. There may be some things that we do not fully understand, but we know that God has it all together. And, of course, we know that it's going to be a place that's going to be something that we'll enjoy and love and eternally be thankful for what the Lord Jesus has done for that. Now, let's look at this. We read those first two verses, the river of water. Now, we said earlier that there is no more sea. And, of course, here we see there is a river in New Jerusalem, and it flows from the throne of God. Now, this could speak of a main thoroughfare that from the New Jerusalem leading to the presence of God, a pure river, symbolic of his holiness and purity of God and the city. And it is all about him. The Lord Jesus Christ made it all possible. It must be flowing by the streets or between the streets or main thoroughfare leading to the Lord. Now, I remember last week I mentioned about there's no more seas. And, of course, I'm just being fictitious at this, or I don't know. But maybe the Lord, maybe he has some fish in there for some of the fishermen. But if he doesn't, I think there's going to be enough to do that we won't be worried about it. But there will be this river. The tree of life. Now, notice it bears 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And, of course, we don't understand fully the statement about the trees and how it is, but it's going to be a beautiful place no matter where or how it is completely. Some view it as a group of trees to each side of the river. Others view the trees in the middle and the river flowing around it. But as we look at this, it's going to be a wonderful place. Also, the tree of life is referred to in Genesis 3, verse 22 and 24, where it represents as a perpetual physical life forever. But remember, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, they were kept from that tree. And, of course, their sin, after a while, they die, just as we do. Now, the fruit and the leaves for healing is another one of those things that we do not understand completely, but we know that at that time we will have glorified bodies and of course a body like Christ had, and of course there'll be no more sin, no more curse, and the glorified bodies will have no sickness. But it is surely an added pleasure as we can eat food, and of course maybe it won't be any weight in it. It'll just be pleasure in eating the food. Because I don't know about, I think as I look around at us, and I know as I look at myself, there's a lot of us that have a pleasure with the food. But there are a lot of things that we will learn as we arrive. Now notice verse 3 and 4. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and the servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Now, in verse 3 and 4, we will serve him. Now, the curse of sin is gone, and with it, we will come and have glorified bodies. We'll have no sin nature to do anything wrong. We'll be doing things aright and really can serve the Lord at really as never before in our life. There'll be no more illness and sickness or death, and no more healing of illness. It is necessary, I think, with those glorified bodies. And of course, some believe that we will have access to God's vast university. Now, I know what he's speaking, and I've heard this from others too, but I mentioned it many times before. But you know, when I think about Jesus on the day of his resurrection, in the Garden where the Mary was there, and of course the other ladies, after the others had left, Mary was there alone. And remember how the Lord came to her, and as he greeted her, he said, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." Now, I don't know, but if you think about that, the way we travel in that day may be different if our travel is like his, because that was in the morning, and he went to the Father. And we know that very same evening that he met with the disciples, all of those except for Thomas, who wasn't there. And you know, as you think of that, many have thought that maybe at that time with that new body that you just kind of wish and you're there. Well, that would be nice, especially if you think back when your kids were young and when are we going to get there? Are we there yet? But you know, that may be the way we travel. I don't know, but you know, it's been thought by many people that it could be the way it is. We might wonder what will be our service. We do not know fully, but we know that what is going to be done is to bring glory and honor to our Lord who made it all possible. As we think of the purpose that we have for our church, we say the purpose of our church is to glorify God, 1 Corinthians 10:31, and our mission is the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. Now, the second one, there won't be any need for it because everyone there will be saved. But there's one thing for sure, just as our title that we have on our bulletin is all, that really our purpose is to glorify God. And, of course, right now we are to be getting the gospel out, but at that time there will be all of people will be saved. We will see the face-to-face, the one who made it all possible. You know, we sang the song, Face to Face. A lot of times it's a funeral song, but as you think of that, you know, whether it be through death or whether it be through the rapture, we'll be face to face to the one who did it all for us. Now notice verses 5 through 7. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Verse 6 and 7. And he saith unto me, these things are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servant the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now, of course, verse 5, we've seen that before back in 21:23. Where it speaks of the Lord Jesus as being the light. There'll be no need for lights like we have here because he'll light it up, and of course there'll be no night. Also, he's faithful and true, and you can count on the word of God. You know, just as Paul tells us in Titus 1:2, who God has promised. And of course, he'll keep his promises. And of course, we know in Matthew 5:18 that really that every jot and tittle will be completed, including the things that we read in the book of Revelation. Now he says, behold, I come quickly, speedily, rapidly, and there is nothing that is to be fulfilled for the rapture to take place. And when it takes place, 1 Corinthians 15:52, we've said this so often, it's in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And the twinkling of an eye is quicker than a wink. Every once in a while you hear somebody say, well, when I hear the trumpet, I'll trust Christ. Friend, it's going to be over before you even know it. And, of course, it'd be too late. So if you're waiting for that, you better be receiving Christ today. And when it takes place, it'll be that quick. That is why my message is always to get ready. And not just to get ready, but to be ready. Because you don't know the day or the hour. And notice the word blessed. Remember, well, Wick, in the very beginning, Warren Wiersbe brings this out, that there are seven blessings that you see throughout the book of Revelation. And here we see one of those. And notice the word blessing there. This is the sixth one, and we'll see the seventh one made in verse 14. And, of course, those are blessed times. Keeping the sayings of the prophecy, not just to read it, but to believe it and to heed it. And also to guard it and to preserve it and not to change it. This is true of all the Word of God, including the way of our salvation and the book of Revelation. Now notice, secondly, the last message of the Bible. Verse 8 and 9 first. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of the brethren, and the prophets, and of them that which keep the saying of the book, worship God. You know, to worship God and God alone. And this shows one big difference from the fallen angels. You know, there's one thing that Satan, and of course I'm sure it was with the fallen angels that fell with him, they wanted worship. One thing Satan wanted, and they wanted to be lifted up. But the good angels that are still there in heaven, they were not there to bring glory to themselves, to bring glory to God and God alone. I want to say this very carefully, but sometimes ministers and preachers and singers and all of that and other servants, if we're not too careful, we get too big for our britches. And of course, the only one to receive glory and honor is the Lord. We're just servants. And of course, we need to remember that. We all honor those who are ministers, maybe those who have led you to the Lord. But we got to remember, no matter who they may be, God has used them, and whatever gift they have is a gift that God has given them. And of course, the worship always goes to the Lord and not to man. And of course, he is the one also, we all honor them. But remember, man is not perfect. Only God is. And of course, in John 16:14, it speaks of the Holy Spirit of God. He came to glorify Christ. And we saw the same thought in chapter 19, verse 10, as well as I'm reminded when Peter brought the gospel to Cornelius. Remember when he came into the room, Cornelius began to bow, and Peter said, see that you do it not. All the worship, all the glory goes to the Lord. And we need to remember that. Now notice verse 10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. You know, this is just the opposite of what you see in the book of Daniel written hundreds of years before. At Daniel's time, it was time not to see all that's there. And I'm reminded back in Daniel chapter 12 and verses 1 through 4 and 8 and 9. Let me just read these. And at the time shall Micah, this is out of Daniel, stands up the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now, this is speaking of really what we have here in Revelation. Verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Very close to Proverbs 11:30. Verse 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And of course, we've seen that since the time of Daniel. Verses 8 and 9, and I heard, but I understand. This is Daniel speaking, not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And God said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Not speaking of the time, Daniel didn't understand all that was taking place. But of course, right here, the Lord is telling John, don't seal it up. Make it clear that everyone understands. And of course, at Daniel's time, this was a time before, as we look forward, and many things have been added and brought out to that. And of course, notice verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Now, as you read that, it has nothing, and it's been understood, not misunderstood by many. He's not encouraging those who are evil to continue to be evil. Or is he condoning evil? But that some do not heed the message, and they continue in evil, as well as some will heed the message and receive Christ and will continue to do right. And, of course, also they'll be with him in this day that we're looking at here. You have a choice. And, of course, the same thing is true here. For as I know, those that are here today profess to know Christ as their Savior. But if there happen to be anyone, or maybe someone that will hear this off the website, that you can trust the Lord Jesus today, don't put it off. Now notice verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. Now this, of course, I think the main message, there's a lot of judgments, and I'll mention them in a minute, but I think the main message is really to the church today. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 10 and 11, the judgment seat of Christ. And it's a judgment not for salvation. It's a judgment for reward since you've been saved serving the Lord. The main thought here is the church and you and I today. We believe that at the rapture, we will be taken into heaven before the tribulation begins. And during those 7 years, the church will be standing before the Lord Jesus, and they will be judged for their works, and not salvation, had nothing to do with salvation, but our works since we've been saved. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13, there's an interesting word that's used there as Paul is speaking about the judgment seat of Christ. And he says that includes the sort of works. That gets down to the nitty-gritty. You know, a lot of people can get boastful and pride and say, look what I've done. Is that why you're serving the Lord, to be seen? The sort of works means your motive. What's your motive for serving the Lord? He's going to look beyond just what the outside or the people see, but he's going to look at our heart. There are at least 7 major judgments mentioned in Scripture, and of course in the Scofield Bible it mentions it, and there's a note in Revelation 20, verse 12. There's first of all the judgment of believers' sin on the cross when Jesus judged that sin and he died for it. Secondly, the believer's self-judgment. When we confess our sins, you know, when you allow sin in your life as a Christian, you don't lose your salvation, but you lose that close fellowship. And it's when we apply 1 John 1:9, if we confess it and turn from it, that renew that close fellowship. The third one is the judgment of the believer's works at the judgment seat of Christ. The fourth is the judgment of the nations at Christ's return. And that was speak about there at the end of the tribulation. The fifth judgment is a judgment for Israel. they'll have their own judgment. The sixth judgment, there is a judgment for angels. The seventh judgment, and we just saw that just a few weeks ago as we saw the great white throne judgment, and that's a judgment for the lost. And it's really, someone would say, well, why are they being judged? They're going to hell. Well, that would tell me there must be degrees of punishment in hell if there's a judgment at that. Now notice verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now he is eternal. Chapter 1, verse 8, as well as Isaiah 44, 6. That is why you can trust his word. He's before all the creation. Something I don't fully understand, but I believe it. And of course, one day we may have the mind to understand all of it. But what he starts, he will end it. Philippians 1, 6. What he begins. And of course, salvation is eternal. He will keep it, and he will keep us. He will be with him to the very point forever. Notice verse 14 and 15. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gate into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now, in those two verses there, verse 14, this is the last of those blessings that's in there. 22:14 of the blessing that Warren Wiersbe brings out, and I mentioned it way back in the beginning of our study. And, of course, as we think of course, here it describes the deeds of the righteous, not their works for salvation. We don't work for our salvation. There's none of us are good enough for that. But the very fact, once you're saved, we work and serve the Lord out of love for him. In verse 15, it's quite a contrast to the deeds of the lost. In chapter 21, verse 18, or 21 by 8 and 27, that you see the lost. Now notice verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Now, very God and perfect man is what our Lord Jesus is. Through the miracle of the virgin birth, he came from the lineage of David through the virgin birth. Very God, very man. He's really the one that comes from David's on the human side. But he's the bright and morning star. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, who made the way of our salvation, who's the creator, who created it all. And when we get there, we shall see this very one, the Lord Jesus, face to face. You know, that's something to think about, isn't it? All that he has planned for us. Look at verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. You know, as you read that, the invitation is to come, reminding us of really of the invitation that we see in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. And of course, let me read that real quick. Come to me, all you that labor and heavy rest, and I'll give you heavy laden and give you rest. Now that speaks of salvation, but 29 and 30 speaks to the believer. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And of course, verse 28 is really speaking of the salvation he has for any and all who will come to him. But 28 and 29 and 30, it speaks of the saint of God, how that he's with us and how that he'll go with us. And of course, tonight, just briefly, we're going to look at those verses. And of course, to the saint of God, that ought to be what we would be sharing that message so others could be saved. And of course, the thought is, are you thirsty? Do you want salvation? It's available. Come. Now, water of life, of salvation, is free, paid by Christ and what he did on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection. Come while there's time. For as we mentioned before, that after this life, there's no other second time. So you need to trust him now. Now notice the first mention here, mentioned in verse 17 of chapter 22. The first one mentioned there is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. And you know, I mentioned this, of course, in Sunday school. We mentioned it a lot of times. As you think of 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4. Verse 3 says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost. And then in verse 4, it speaks of how Satan has the minds of the lost blinded. There are three ingredients when someone's saved. You and I, who are to take the word of God to the lost and the gospel, those are two ingredients, you and I, and of course, taking the gospel. And then there's the Holy Spirit. It tells us in verse 4 that Satan has the lost blinded to the truth. But it's the work of the Holy Spirit of God who brings conviction as we give out the word. And the very minute they trust Christ as their Savior, he places them into God's family. And they become a child of God. Same thing that happened to us. And that's our responsibility. Now notice verse 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. You know, in verse 18 and 19, it speaks of anyone trying to change or take from not just the book of Revelation, I think it would be all of God's word. You know, I've heard of a sermon one time. I don't even remember who brought it, but it was talking about somebody that they was taking the Bible and trying to cut out the things they don't want to go along with. Friend, I feel sorry for that fella because it's all true. And, of course, you might find yourself in this threat that's given here. Now, notice verse 20 and 21. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Here's John. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now notice Jesus says, I come quickly. Now first to the believer. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3 makes it clear that if you're really looking for the rapture, his imminent return, that means he can come. Nothing has to be satisfied. Everything is completed. He could come at any moment. And, of course, the very fact if you live that life and know that it's possible, it's going to have a purifying effect upon your life. That's what John tells us in 1 John 3, verse 2 and 3. Sadly, I'm afraid some believers may be living so close to the road and so close to the lost that at the trumpet sounding, they may be saddened. Because they're going to leave everything that they're trying to grab a hold of that this old world's got for us. But God's got much more. The greatest treasure will be the people that we take with us. You know, those that we have used our time or talent and treasure to get the word of God out that people might be saved. You won't have time to prepare, friend. Because remember, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it'll all be over. But notice John's word. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Friend, if you're prepared and saved, friend, that can be your words too. And you know that ought to be. Are you living the life right now? First of all, do you know Christ as your Savior? And as Christians, are we living for him? Or will we be ashamed if he came this very moment? But in conclusion, I hope that we have really profited some way in this study in the book of Revelation. It will show in our life as a believer, if it's profitable. Knowing, and of course, as you look around the world right now, we're surely close to a lot of things that could happen very quickly. Are we sharing of our time, talent, and treasure to get the word of God out? Are we trying to lead others to the Lord? Maybe we're allowing sin in our life as a believer. And of course, 1 John 1:9 makes it clear if you have sin in your life as a believer, you don't lose your salvation if you're truly saved, but you lose that close fellowship. And it's when we confess, Lord, I sinned, I did it, I'm the responsible one, and I think the thought of turning from it, you renew that close fellowship once again. You're still his child and all of it, but I sure wouldn't want to be a child that you know, there were things between me and the Lord when he came. Not that the fact that he's going to take and shoot lightning bolts at you, but the very fact is going to be an awful shame at all that he's done for us and when we see him coming. But to the unsaved, friend, if you're not saved and don't know Christ as your Savior, the only thing I can say, are you thirsty? Do you want salvation? Come. I always like to close with the gospel. Romans 3:23, Romans 3:10, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. None of us will ever stand up before the Lord and say, oh, I'm good enough. Look at all these deeds I've done. Friend, they don't amount to anything because we're all sinners. Isaiah 64, verse 6 makes it clear the best that we can do is filthy rags. But the very fact is, Jesus paid the price. And the only thing you can do is trust him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you come to the end of yourself, realize, Lord, I'm just an old sinner. Nothing I can do. I know Jesus did it all on the cross. He paid my debt. And I do put my whole trust in what he did, in his death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, come into my heart. Save me and change my life. He'll do it. Let's all bow our head just for a moment, just before we have prayer and close. But if God's speaking to your heart, if I can talk to you and help you, I'd love to do that. Or maybe right now, just spend a few moments with him and just think of the fact. Jesus says he comes quickly. Are you ready? Do you know Christ? And as believers, are we living for him?